Our text for this morning is found in the book of Colossians. That's one of the prison epistles. If you're looking in your Bibles, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And we will be in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be reading the first 8 verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He was a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to each of us individually today. In the name of Christ, amen. How many of you watch on commercial television, where they have commercials that break in? You aren't yet into Netflix or Amazon Prime and that kind of stuff. So you watch television where they break in and they have commercials? Yeah, you seen those commercials, What's in Your Wallet? The Capital One ones, they have all the Vikings that are going around and they're destroying stuff. They go into a store and their kids are breaking things, and at the end of the commercial, all this catastrophe's happening in your life. And the guy pulls out his credit card and they say, "What's in your wallet? You're protected." It's kind of fun commercials, aren't they? All these weird things happening in the class of cultures where they have modern society with these Vikings, these guys that don't apparently know what a shower is, and they keep coming with this end and thing, "What's in your wallet?" As though what's in your wallet is either going to protect you or leave you vulnerable to what we don't know, to cyber thieves, to, not being able to pay for what your kid broke. As though what's in your wallet is your protection. I like the commercials because it asks, what do you have to protect you? I don't like the idea that a credit card is the answer to crisis in life. Because when your life is falling apart around you, a credit card isn't going to cut it. You do know that if you charge stuff, you eventually have to pay it back. It's a bad idea to suggest that borrowing money is the answer to bad stuff happening. But they are funny commercials. And you can go online and there's all kinds of people who have done spoofs of that. "What's in your wallet?" Little kids that are talking about stuff and the dad says, "What's in your wallet?" I'm going to suggest today we change that question. I'm going to suggest that there's a better question for us to ask about what are we going to turn to when we face crises in life. When you face disaster, I don't think you need to ask what's in your wallet. I would suggest we need to ask what's in your heart. Because there are heart qualities which prepare us for the crisis of life. And they're spoken of throughout Scripture. They are connected together in numerous places in the Word of God. The three qualities are faith, hope, and love. And, of course, the most famous place where they are connected is even known by non-believers. People who never read the Scripture have been to weddings where the pastor stands up in the front and he reads from 1 Corinthians 13 and he ends with these words, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is..." Thank you. Thank you. There's a little interactive part there. The first service caught on to that right away. Maybe you guys forgot, okay? The three are faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The scripture connects these together, right? And we know that. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, writing to the church there, in his opening, he talks about them also. He says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of your hope in the Lord Jesus. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he says this, since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And there in that passage, he pulls together this nice picture of how faith, love, and hope become a defense mechanism for us to face the challenges of life. A breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of hope. And in Colossians 1, he brings up these same three qualities of life. Heart qualities which enable us to face the crises of life victoriously. And the beginning of that is faith. Paul writes in verse 3 of our text, verse 4 of our text, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. At the heart of a life which is prepared to face the crises which come our way is faith in Christ Jesus. It is not merely faith. There are lots of people who have faith, but they don't have faith in Christ. There are lots of people who say, I have faith. As a matter of fact, everyone has faith. Some people have faith in Christ. Some people have faith in other things, like science. Some people believe if you can't, that you have to be able to prove it. And I would suggest that that's not faith if you think it can be proven. But they, when they get to the end of their studies and there's issues that they can't understand, like evolution, they say, well, I have faith that there is that missing link. We just haven't found it yet. That's their place of faith. They are people of faith. They just say, well, I'm all scientific. We just haven't discovered it yet. Well, I think the same thing about God. You just haven't discovered him yet. And there's going to come a time when you will. And then you'll go, I could have had a ticket to heaven. See, we all have faith. The question is what you have faith in. And that is the rub, isn't it? Because we can choose to have faith in just about anything. Paul is going to argue that we need to have faith in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, the main theme of Colossians, and we're going to be in Colossians for the next 12 or 13 weeks. It depends. I laid it all out, and I had, I think I had 12 sermons scheduled, and then I blew it on the first one. And I've already started working on next week's message. And so this week was supposed to be, it was now broken into two messages, and as I've started working on it, I think I broke it today into three messages. So we might be in Colossians until the trumpet sounds. But we're going to be in Colossians, and we're going to talk about this preeminence of Christ, the superiority of Christ, why we believe in Christ Jesus, why that is important as a bedrock of our response to life. We come back to this, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Why we come back to this sense that Christ is the beginning and the end. As a matter of fact, look at what it says, Colossians 1, 15 and following. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the first fruit from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is Jesus Christ, who is our all in all. And we have to start with a bedrock confidence of faith in Christ Jesus. When the world is falling apart around us, it is what is in our hearts that matters. It is what's in our heart that gives us a consistency. It gives us the ability to stand and recognize there are some truths which are forever. Faith in Christ is our protection in a world which is so anti-Christ. We have faith in Christ Jesus. We don't place our faith in our friends. You've done that, and you've been disappointed. You don't place your faith in your riches. You've done that, and you've found that riches can be fleeting. You don't place your faith in government. You've done that, and they elect a Republican or a Democrat anyway. I try to remain somewhat neutral. The problem is that the most of the things that we can place our faith in are so incredibly disappointing. Because they change, because what was so obvious 15, 20 years ago, we're going to pass the Defense of Marriage Act. Now it's so obviously wrong. We place our faith in government. Good luck for those of you under the age of 30 ever collecting Social Security. You place your faith in family. The Scripture tells us that brother will speak out against brother, father against son, son against father. Marriage used to be ostensibly for a lifetime. If we place our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, then we will be disappointed. We place our faith in Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The image of the invisible God, the Creator of all things, the one who reconciles us to God the Father, the one who holds everything together, the only place of security when all around us is falling apart, is faith in Christ Jesus. Somebody can say amen. We trust in Christ. We do not trust in any other for our salvation. We can't even trust in ourselves for our salvation. We can't trust ourselves to be the kind of people we want to be. We trust in Christ. Not on our own wisdom, not on our own goodness. We trust in Christ. This is the security we have when all around us is falling apart. Paul commends the church for the faith in Christ Jesus, which is known throughout the region. It begs the question for us, what is our reputation? As individuals, corporately, what is our reputation? Are we known as one who has followed Christ? Do people recognize us as having been with Jesus? Do people recognize our faith? If you're wondering about that faith and what it means, please talk to me. I'd love to direct you to understand what faith in Christ means and how you can place your faith in Christ and how it can guide your life and direct you and give you a sense of confidence through all that you do. If we want to have some protection, we look for this quality of the heart that we have faith in Christ. The second heart quality which protects us is love for all the saints. So the text says again in verse 4, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Let's face it. Some of us are more lovable than others of us. Actually, some of us are more lovable to me than they are to you. And some are more lovable to you than they are to me. We have some natural inclinations towards one another. We may have some common interests. I like woodworking. I like golf. Not so keen on tennis. I like racquetball because the ball always comes back to you and it can never go over a fence. And nobody expects you to jump a net. That is not a net, James, but a net. Well, I have an affinity to racquetball players more than tennis players. So, if it was all about tennis, I'd never meet some of you. If it was all about four-wheeling, I wouldn't meet some of you. We just get one another, right? Sometimes we do that. That reminds me. It's totally off the notes, okay? It was off the notes in the first service. I inserted it here at the second service because I inserted it at the first service off the notes, and then it worked, so I'm using it here. I had this cool conversation with my son, Matthew. He's 14, and 14-year-olds are an interesting breed. And he and one of his friends were talking about language and invisible letters. It's kind of a new thought to me. There's invisible letters. And he said, yeah, there's all kinds of invisible letters. Like R in the word idea. Because people say, I have an idea. You know, I'd like to share an idea with you. My son and daughter-in-law were looking for a washer and a dryer. And so we bought them a washer. That invisible R. The cool thing, I'm reading this text this morning, and there it is. It says, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, the visible and the invisible. See, when you speak words with invisible letters, you're speaking God's language. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are going, really, Johnson? I'm sure. And some of you are laughing. Some of you get me. And some of you are going, move on, please. What binds us together is we love all the saints. And you'll listen to my dumb jokes, and I'll listen to yours. You'll listen to my stories, I'll listen to yours. I actually visited someone this week. I was there for about a half an hour. He's in the sunset years of his life. And he told me the same story four times in 20 minutes. And you know what I did? I listened to him, and I listened to that story, and I loved him. And it was so cool. Because every time, he just felt good about telling that story. It was awesome. We love all the saints. Even when other people go, that's so boring, I've heard that joke before. All the saints. I love that he says all. He doesn't say, I've noticed you love some of the saints. You love the people that are like you. You love the people that, you know, dress like you and smell like you and, you know, speak with invisible letters. You know, it's easy to love those that have common interests. The real rub comes when we love those who the world, our world, deems unlovable. The people who, have more tattoos or more body piercings or more hair than us. Purple hair or green hair. The people we might look and go, I'm just going to avoid that person. Do you know there's lots of people who look a lot different than us who are going to go to heaven, who God loves, and who we love because we have faith in Christ Jesus. Love is the fruit of our faith, and it is the proof that our faith is genuine, that we have a love for all the saints, that we look at the saints and we say, you know what, that I don't really agree with that, but I will choose to embrace you in absolute love. I may have to challenge you because of sin in your life, but that I'm going to love you because Christ loved you. It is faith in Christ Jesus which brings us and grows in us a caring love which counts no sacrifice too great for the one who is loved, because we have watched Christ sacrifice his life for us. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he heard of their faith by hearing of their love. You know, our society is not big on love. It doesn't gain energy because you love something. Oh, I know you have the little like button on Facebook. Every once in a while, I look over my wife's shoulder as she's looking at Facebook. One of my kids said, did you see this on Facebook? And it is amazing to me how much on Facebook, where you can say, I like something, what you basically do on Facebook is hate stuff. You're too fat. You know, you had a baby and you haven't lost all your baby fat yet. You know, I'm 58 years old and I'm getting baby fat. I want more baby, you know. The shame that we hold people to these standards, and we basically say, I hate you because, and we fill in the blank with whatever is popular today. I hate you because you're too fat. I hate you. It used to be I hate you because you're black or you're Hispanic or you're gay. Now you can only hate people that are overweight, which is about 80% of the United States, by the way. So we hate each other. We share our hate. And the church, it ought to be different. The love which we display is a fruit of our faith. And we recognize that Christ loved us and loved those around us, and therefore we ought to love those around us also. And we ought to express to one another love, acceptance, and forgiveness, not judgment and criticism. Galatians, Paul writes, "In Christ there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." There is neither big hair person or no hair person. There's not black, there's not white. There's not fat, there's not thin. There are simply faith working through love. It is the evidence of our faith. 1 John 3, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death." Loving one another is not merely a mark of our faith. It is a cushion in times of trouble. It is part of the evidence of our faith, but it is part of what enables us to face the crises of life in times of trouble. Out of our love for one another, we meet together, we support one another, we give to benevolence. I got a card today, and I'm the recipient of these things only because I am the person who gives benevolence to people on your behalf. And I got this card from someone who simply said, now they were wrong when they wrote it because they wrote it about me. So I'm going to transfer it to you. "Dear Living Hope Church, you are a really wonderful church." It says you're a wonderful man of God because someone pointed out to me that a family had need and you gave, and I was able then to channel that money to a family in need, and they recognized that because of the love of this church, they could face a crisis in their life. Love is the evidence of our faith. Love is why we give to benevolence. It's why we give to the camp fund. It's why we are never alone, unless you want to be. You're never alone when you go to the hospital or when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. You are never alone because not only is Christ with you, but His church is with you. Love for all the saints is one of the heart qualities of life. On April 3rd was Friday, Good Friday of this year. Jason Newby, the youth pastor at Eaton Evangelical Free Church, which is outside of Greeley, was driving a semi. Jason's son does motocross racing, and he's in a tour with some motocross organization, and his son is actually a very accomplished motocross racer. And as is often the case with small organizations like that, Jason, as a parent of one of the kids, was called upon to drive some of the equipment. So he was driving a semi from Texas up to Colorado. And someplace along the road in the middle of Oklahoma, he's driving along, and there were two semis in front of him, side by side, a gravel truck and a tanker truck. And he watched as the gravel truck blew its drivetrain. And it broke off, and it flipped up, and it sliced the airline to the semi. Now, I didn't know this. I've never driven a semi, but apparently if you cut the airline in a semi, it locks up the brakes. And so they were on a bridge. The drivetrain goes, cuts the line, brakes lock up. He jackknifes his gravel truck and hits the tanker truck right next to him. Jason's driving behind him and hits his brakes. He stops and hits reverse as the tanker truck blows up in front of him. He backs his trucks up, and a driver from in front of the two that were in an accident had stopped also. He comes running, and he had seen Jason's truck, and he ran back to Jason because he's in this motocross. It was advertised, he knew it was a racing truck, and he figured they probably had equipment there in the truck which would help get the driver out of the tanker truck, who was still alive. And so these two men grabbed their equipment and went back to the on a tanker truck, and they were working on getting him out of the truck when the second tank blew. Each man was blown, one man 40 feet, and Jason was blown about 20 feet away, and both of them survived. The other man simply hit on the ditch and got up, and Jason was blown about 20 feet, and it blew a hole through his leg, through his femur, took 2 or 3 inches out of his femur, just blew it through. And the other guy has his equipment, and he comes, and the tanker driver is now dead. But the other guy happened to have been in Vietnam and was a medic in Vietnam. He comes, and he dresses the wound, and they airlift him into Tulsa. This is on Good Friday. And before the church knew about it in Eaton, before word had spread out, the pastor of a large church in Tulsa has called the church in Eaton and left a message saying, "We will take care of Pastor Jason." Now, that's a cool story. That church down there, it's a big church. The senior pastor of the church calls to the church there, leaves a message. It was a Baptist church calling an evangelical free church. And for as long as Jason was in the hospital, one of their staff people was available to help and do whatever needed to be done and help the family as they made arrangements to have surgery. The church was large enough. About 75 people from the church in Tulsa were involved in the medical teams taking care of Jason. And Jason lived because of God's presence. And it's a testimony not just to Jason's faith that he was willing to go and help a man, but a testimony to the love of a church in Tulsa and to the love of Christ and his people for one another. You see, the way we make it through the crises of life is by having faith in Christ Jesus and having love for all the saints. I wish that we would be known as such a community of love, that our love for one another was the hallmark of our reputation. I'm running out of time, so I connect the last point. Faith in Christ, love for all the saints, and finally, hope of heaven. Faith shows itself not only in love, but also in hope. Faith is what gives us hope. The text says this: because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. He gives thanks because of the hope that they have. That hope, that joyful expectancy, that sense of certainty for the future, that confidence that good things are yet to come, to look into the future which bears us up in those times of crisis, that hope laid up for heaven, that which is the blessed hope of every believer, that Jesus is coming again. The one in whom we place our faith is preparing a place for us, and if he's preparing a place, he's going to come back, and he's going to bring us there. Hope, a living hope to which we are born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. At the end of the day, when all around us is falling apart, it is our faith in Christ, our love for one another, and our hope in eternity that enables us to walk proudly through whatever the valleys of death we may be facing, and we can do that with incredible confidence when all the world around you is falling apart. Don't ask what's in your wallet. That's no safety net. If you think that a credit card is sufficient to take care of your needs, we really need to talk. You know, it's what's in your heart that matters. Faith in Christ Jesus. Love for all the saints. Hope for eternity. Faith, love, and hope. These three are the best protection against the crisis and the chaos of life. Let's pray. Grant us, Jesus, a full understanding of who you are. Strengthen our faith. Enhance our love. Focus our hope. Thank you. Thank you that you have held us together, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can count upon you upon your hope, upon your church, and upon the hope of your return. Amen.